Okay, so a couple of quick announcements. This is class 6 of module, transforming problems, thoughts, problems, something like that. And so this is the last class of this module. And then we're going to be on a break for a fairly extensive period of time because we are welcoming our Geshe's teacher, Pinsir Rinpoche, hopefully. It's not definite yet, but we're hoping that will happen probably in September. And so keep an eye out on the website for news and information about that. And plan to join for, you know, those amazing and very precious teachings. And so we will start up, we will start up again with Discovering Buddhism in October. And so that will be October 3rd through November 7th. Right. And that will be module 12. And that one is Wisdom of Emptiness. So that will be module 12 out of the 13 that we offer here at the Kadampa Center. The last one will be Intro to Tantra. And then we'll take a break until about the first or second week of January of 2023. And then we'll start that Discovering Buddhism 2-year cycle all over again. And so January 2023, we'll start with Mind and Its Potential. And so if you came in, you know, midway through or even later through the Discovering Buddhism course, feel free to, you know, just continue and keep taking it. And or if you're like me, you can take it maybe 2, 3, or 4 times. So those two things I did want to mention. Discovering Buddhism will be on break until October 3rd. Look for information about Wisdom of Emptiness. And of course, keep your eye open for any news and updates about Kensa Rinpoche's visit. And with that, I'll turn it back over to, or I will turn it over to Robbie.
Okay. Thank you, Linda. As she mentioned, this is our last class. So we'll begin with our prayers in the gold prayer book, if you have a copy of that, on page 34. We'll read Refuge and Bodhicitta 3 times in English, the 4 Immeasurables, the 7 Limb Prayer, and the short mandala offering. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and other perfections, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and other perfections, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and other perfections, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Reverently, I prostrate with my body, speech, and mind. I present clouds of every type of offering, actual and imagined. I declare all my negative actions accumulated since beginningless time, and rejoice in the merit of all holy and ordinary beings. Please remain until the end of cyclic existence and turn the wheel of Dharma for living beings. I dedicate my own merits and those of all others to the great enlightenment. This ground, anointed with perfume, strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, four continents, the sun and the moon, I imagine this as a Buddha field and offer it. May all living beings enjoy this pure land. Idam Guru Ratna Mandala Kam Niriyatayami. And now we'll do our first meditation of the evening. We begin by establishing our posture. Our back, not rigid, but a little straighter than we usually sit. Our head may be just a couple degrees in front of the vertical, but not tilted to one side or the other. Eyes either lightly closed or just very slightly open. Lips slightly closed with our tongue on the hard palate behind our upper teeth. Shoulders down and a little bit back so our chest is open. Upper arms away from the sides of our chest. And right hand resting on left, with our thumbs touching slightly below the level of our navel. Legs in a position that we find stable and non-distracted. If we're sitting in a chair, we're not leaning back, but we're sitting straight with our feet on the floor or on a cushion. If we're sitting on a cushion, we're towards the front third of the cushion, and our legs are in a position that we find non-distracting. So just take a moment, scan your body from the top of your head down to your feet. Identify any sources of tension or discomfort and address those now. And we begin our meditation by taking three deep breaths from the abdomen, stomach expanding on the in-breath, and then contracting on the out-breath. And now we allow our breath to return to its normal pattern. And we take a moment and set our motivation for the meditation to follow. And as much as possible, we generate the bodhicitta motivation. The motivation that everything I do, including sitting in meditation and participating in the discussion to follow tonight, is done so that I may become enlightened in order to be of benefit to others. I personally will become enlightened so I can be of benefit to others. And that motivates everything I do. That's not a normal way for us to think. It may be a little bit awkward or uncomfortable, but that's okay. Just think along those lines for a moment. And having set our motivation, we now begin the meditation, a simple concentration meditation. The mind or awareness or consciousness is placed on the breath, the physical sensation of the breath moving in and out through our nostrils. Nothing more than that. Just the movement of air in and out of our nostrils. We place our concentration there. And whenever we notice that our mind has wandered off to another object, we don't get angry or stern with ourselves. We just acknowledge it, set the other object aside, and come back to the breath over and over and over again. And we can end our meditation with a dedication. We acknowledge the positive energy we've created by working with our mind in this way. And may that make an imprint on our mind stream that ripens in the future in a way that benefits all living beings. Okay, if you can bring up the text, we'll read that together now. The 8 verses.
And that's on page 161 in the Gold Prayer Book, if you're here in the Gampa.
So we'll read this together. We'll pause a little bit after each verse. Determined to obtain the greatest possible benefit from all sentient beings, who are more precious than a wish-fulfilling jewel, I shall hold them most dear at all times. When in the company of others, I shall always consider myself the lowest of all, and from the depths of my heart hold others dear and supreme. Vigilant, the moment a delusion appears in my mind, endangering myself and others, I shall confront and avert it without delay. Whenever I see beings who are wicked in nature and overwhelmed by violent negative actions and suffering, I shall hold such rare ones dear, as if I had found a precious treasure. When, out of envy, others mistreat me with abuse, insults, or the like, I shall accept defeat and offer the victory to others. When someone whom I have benefited and whom I have great hopes gives me terrible harm, I shall regard that person as my holy guru. In short, both directly and indirectly, do I offer every happiness and benefit to all my mothers. I shall secretly take upon myself all their harmful actions and suffering. Undefiled by the stains of the superstitions of the eight worldly concerns, may I, by perceiving all phenomena as illusory, be released from the bondage of attachment. Okay. See, before we begin talking, tonight we're going to talk about verse 8. We've already done the previous 7. So that worked out well. Do we have any questions either here in the Gompa or for those people who are joining us by Zoom or YouTube? Anything that we've talked about in the previous weeks?
Anyone have any questions? If you're streaming or on Zoom, please put it in chat or raise your hand.
Okay. So, verse 8, here's another version, another translation. Without these practices being defiled by the stains of the eight worldly concerns, by perceiving all phenomena as illusory, I will practice without grasping to release all beings from the bondage of the disturbed, unsubdued mind and karma. So there is a lot in this verse. They're all very pithy. Some of them are a little simpler, but this touches on a couple different topics that people may not be familiar with. I'm going to read it in reverse order here, switch the lines around a little bit. I will practice without grasping, that means without attachment, to release all beings from the bondage of the disturbing, unsubdued mind and karma. Here they say by, release from the bondage of attachment. Okay, so yeah, it's changed around a little bit. I'll stick with the version we have. So, undefiled by the stains of the superstitions of the eight worldly concerns. The eight worldly concerns are sometimes referred to as the eight worldly dharmas. Okay, the word dharma generally means truth, or that which separates us from suffering. So when we're talking about when the Buddha talks about the eight worldly dharmas. He's being a little bit snarky or being a little bit sarcastic here, okay, because they're not true dharma. They're worldly dharma, he's saying. And these are the things we tend to take, this is what we tend to structure our life around if we're willing to be honest with ourselves, the eight worldly dharmas, the eight worldly concerns. And it's four pairs of objects. You can think of them as two columns. I'd write this on the board, but I don't think I need to. That's okay. Yeah, that's all right. First pair, so they come in different orders. First pair is, let's see, how do I want to do this? Just a second. Let me just look right here. We can say pleasure and pain. Okay, pleasure and suffering, pleasure and pain, gain and loss, praise and blame, good reputation, bad reputation. Okay, pleasure, pain, gain, loss, praise, blame, good reputation, bad reputation. So we tend to live our life as if we get everything that's in on this side, if we get as much pleasure, as much gain, as much praise, as much good reputation as possible, and we get as little as possible of the things on the other side, pain, loss, blame, bad reputation. If we can just get our lives lined up so we're just dealing with this side of the column and just pushing that away, then we'll have it made. That will be happiness, okay? And the Buddha says, there are a few problems with living your life that way, okay? He's saying you do want to be happy. That's completely valid. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be happy, but this is the wrong way of going about it. Why? Well, for one reason, one thing, it's not possible to get rid of everything on that side. That's not a realistic view of life. We will inevitably encounter those. And the more we're attached, clinging to things on this side of the balance sheet, the more unhappy we are whenever we get anything on this side. Okay, so we cling to this side, push this side away. So that's not at all a realistic way of dealing with whatever life's going to hand us. Okay, the Buddha said this is a very short-sighted way to live our lives. It doesn't get us the happiness that we want. It's very much about this life only, if you think of multiple lifetimes. Okay, so that's what we're talking about with the eight worldly dharmas. And like I was saying, he's being a little bit sarcastic there. But if we look, we do spend a lot of our life living according, you know, trying to get as much of this, trying to get as little of this, and it inevitably doesn't work, because we're going to get both. So each of us has a certain amount of attachments to the different ones here. Certain ones are bigger issues for each of us, and it's interesting to look at our mind. But Lama Zopa Rinpoche, who's the spiritual director of the FPMT and talks on this subject a lot, he says, for most people, if we're really willing to look seriously, the biggest issue for most of us is good reputation, bad reputation, which means we want people to like us. We want people we like to think that we're a good person. We want people to have a positive opinion of us. And so we live a lot of our lives trying to get that good reputation. And sometimes we do, but sometimes we don't. So in this verse, he's saying, when we work on the verses of thought transformation, as we work to transform our mind, these thoughts that arise in our mind, the ideal is to do it without any attachment to the worldly dharmas. Okay, not possible for most of us where we are right now, but that's something to aspire to. Okay, that we do them without clinging to what's on this side. We do them without pushing away what's on this side, but we accept whatever life brings to us, okay? Doesn't mean we necessarily enjoy what's on this side of the page, but we're not pushing it away. So when we work on our mind, work on thought transformation, work on developing these new habits, the less we can be attached to the worldly dharmas, the more powerful it's going to be. So we practice this. Here he says, undefiled by the status, by the stains of the superstitions of the eight worldly concerns, by perceiving all phenomena as illusory. May I, by perceiving all phenomena as illusory. So again, this is a huge subject he's bringing up here. It's the perfect lead into the next module. By phenomena, he's referring to everything that our mind can perceive, okay? That red cushion there is a phenomena because my mind perceives it. Linda sitting over here is a phenomena because my mind perceives her, okay? A thought of jealousy in my mind is a phenomena. It's anything that the mind perceives, physical, non-physical, thought, feeling, emotion, object, person, memory, plans for the future. Everything that my mind perceives is a phenomena. So he's saying that to really practice thought transformation, we have to see all phenomena as illusory. So what does he mean by illusory? Well, it's, you know, that's a whole module, and I can't talk about that in great detail tonight. But just to talk around it a little bit, first off, be very clear, he's not saying that things don't exist, that phenomena don't exist, okay? They exist, but they exist like illusions. Sometimes it's said they exist like dreams, okay? What he's saying is that all phenomena, from the cushion to Linda, to my thought of what I have to do at work tomorrow morning, exist in a way that is not the way they appear to me. Their reality is very different, in that I think though each individual discrete phenomena is solid, permanent, unchanging. Okay, we may not think those thoughts out loud, but that's the way we relate to life, that we're walking through life and bumping into solid phenomena one after another. And the Buddha is saying they don't exist that way. They exist in a way that is much more fluid, much less solid. Okay. He's saying they are empty of that kind of existence that I'm projecting onto them. That solid existence is just a projection of my mind. It cannot be found in the cushion, cannot be found in Linda, cannot be found in any thought in my mind. They are empty of that kind of existence. They exist, but in a very different way. So that's what he's referring to when he refers to, when we talk about emptiness, that things don't exist independently. They exist dependently upon all other phenomena. Everything is very connected. Okay, so that cushion exists in dependence upon my mind, exists in dependence upon its parts, it exists in dependence upon its causes and conditions. I'm just kind of rattling those out. We're not going to talk about those at any great length. And so the cushion exists but it exists like an illusion. So this is the, ideally, this is the attitude that we bring to our thought transformation when we practice this again. But like I said, most of us are not there, but it, when we meditate on this, if we can, they say, if we can just flash on emptiness, you know, just touch on it briefly in our meditation, that really gives us some power. Okay, so he's saying, by perceiving all phenomena as illusory, may I, by perceiving all phenomena as illusory, be released from the bondage of attachment. And in this translation, they say, it's to release all beings. Here he's just saying, in this translation, they're just saying, may I be released. So we'll stick with that. Release from the bondage of attachment. So as we do these practices of thought transformation, if we can do them with an understanding of emptiness, and with freedom from the eight worldly dharmas, then that is really the way to free our own mind. Okay, and the emptiness is important because it's the fact that our mind is ultimately empty, is not permanent, is not fixed, is not unchanging, that allows us to transform it. If it were permanent and unchanging, our meditation would have no effect on it. We'd have the same mind as when we began the meditation. But the fact that it's empty is what allows the mind to change. So when we do these thought transformation meditations, try and avoid the grip of the eight worldly dharmas and try and bring an understanding of emptiness to it. And that will really undercut your attachment, your clinging, and allow the actual transformation to occur. Okay, any questions or comments on what I've said so far?
Hang on. Chris has one.
You said an understanding of emptiness, but do you really mean like a complete awareness of emptiness there?
Well, emptiness is an, yeah. I mean, you mean like a complete realization? Yeah. Okay. Emptiness is one of those topics that we have to approach intellectually before we actually get it. So most of us are at the point where we're still just trying to understand the terms and think about it, okay? So the more complete our understanding of it is, the more powerful the thought transformation will be. Ultimately, we get to a point where it said we realize emptiness, which is one of those Buddhist terms, which means that's just the way we spontaneously see everything. Okay, we don't have to think about it. It's just our way of seeing everything. And that's a highly realized stage. That's what's called an arhat, is someone who continually sees the emptiness of all phenomena. Most of us aren't there. So what we're doing is we're bringing our intellectual understanding of the topic to the practice stage that we're at now. Yeah.
I want to ask something. It's a little complicated, I know, and I'm trying to understand this particular verse. For me, when you're saying emptiness, or the way I've understood emptiness is non-dual, like we're the same, like everything is same. What's external, what's internal, like there's no boundary between us. That's what I'm understanding emptiness. And I'm understanding what you're trying to tell me here is not have a grip on this phenomena, which means to say that I am looking at it from a distance when I'm meditating. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not gripping to the pleasure. Let's say we have attachment to children and husbands, and it is one of the phenomena, And here, in our real life, but probably in the meditation practice, what we're trying to learn is that I should be able to look at my husband or child without that pain element or that attachment which is causing distress. Mm-hmm. Am I making, is that?
Yeah, that's, yeah, what we want to do is diminish the attachment, which is not saying we don't love them and we don't want them to be happy, but we're not clinging to that. And we see that they are changing and impermanent phenomena. And we accept that. We don't get attached to the other person being one particular way because we know they're not always going to be that way. Okay, but it doesn't mean we're the same necessarily. In that my mind, they're of a, my mind is not your mind, though they have a similar nature, okay? But your mind and its spiritual development is distinct from my mind and my spiritual development. It's not like we're all one in that sense. Okay. Okay. So it's just loosening the grip, the attachment that we're aiming for. It's not where we don't want to get to a point where we don't care about anything. That's a complete misinterpretation, but it's where we're getting rid of just this clinging, neurotic kind of attachment that we have to phenomena being a certain way. Okay. So let's meditate on this verse. And we'll just try and, like I said, there's a lot packed into this verse. So we'll just try and go through it in a meditative way and get a little bit clearer what's being talked about here. So check your posture. Set your motivation. And just a little bit of concentration meditation. And now we're just going to go through the verse line by line, kind of what we call a review meditation, where we're just really becoming familiar with the material, reviewing the content. Nothing mystical or really spiritual there. It's just using our mind's ability to analyze. So the first line is, undefiled by the stains of the superstitions of the eight worldly concerns. So let's just review the eight worldly concerns. Pleasure, pain, gain, loss, praise, blame, good reputation, bad reputation. So just review those in your mind and repeat them to yourself and become clear about what the eight worldly concerns, the eight worldly dharmas are. And think for a moment how those show up in your life, how much of your life they motivate. So now we move on to the next line. May I, by perceiving all phenomena as illusory. So let's just think to the best of our understanding about what all phenomena are illusory, what that really means. How do I understand that? How is that different from the way I usually see phenomena? And the last line, may I be released from the bondage of attachment. So what is the bondage of attachment? How does that show up in my life? And why do I want to be free from it? So to summarize this verse and arrange the clauses a little bit differently, the Buddha is saying, or the author of the text is saying, in order to become free from attachment, which is a distortion of reality and causes suffering, to become free from attachment, I have to free myself from the 8 worldly dharmas and perceive all phenomena as illusory. So there are two methods or two tasks to accomplish if we wish to be free of attachment. Avoid the contamination of the 8 worldly dharmas, free our mind from that, and perceive all phenomena as illusory. And you can relax your concentration. Yeah, someone's time. Okay, thank you.
There is a question, Robbie. Do you want? Are you ready for that one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there a bondage of aversion as well?
Is there what?
A bondage of aversion as well. So I'm guessing instead of attachment.
Yeah, I would think, yeah. I mean, excellent question, yeah. Wanting everything on this side and trying to avoid everything on this side. I mean, they're really flip sides of the same coin. Yeah, it's the same mind. We're over-exaggerating the good qualities here. We're over-exaggerating the negative qualities here. So it's a mind that is not seeing things as they are. So it's really, yeah, it's the same thing really almost. Yeah, great question. I heard bondage. I was saying, what's it? Yeah. Any other questions? Yeah. Okay, let's see if we can get a mic.
Okay, let me see if I can figure out how to form this question.
Okay.
It's about the I. Me, I.
Mm-hmm.
Is the I a phenomena, or does it not exist? Is the thought of the I considered a phenomena?
We think that you're getting into the next class. You know, and just to jump ahead a little bit, this concept of I or self that we have is considered to be an illusion, or actually a delusion, in that it doesn't exist at all in the way we think it does. It's not saying we don't have a mind or a body, but this concept of an I or a self that owns that mind or body is just a delusion, okay? But a delusion is a phenomena, okay, because our mind perceives it, okay? It doesn't mean it's accurate or true, okay? I mean, when we're drunk, we can see pink elephants walking across the room. That is a phenomena in that our deluded mind is perceiving that, but they are not reality, okay? Yeah, so that's a good question, yeah? Any others? Okay, I want to read through the whole 8 verses one more time, just in a meditative state. So I'll read them and you can just listen. And I think for most of us, there'll be 1 or 2 verses that kind of hit home more than the others. And like I said, this is, you know, incredibly practical, down to earth. This, you know, you don't have to have any beliefs in Buddhism or anything like that to get value out of these, I think. And you're certainly entitled to pick and choose and work with those verses or a verse that speak to you personally. So just get your concentration back. And I'll just read all 8 verses. We'll think on each one. Determined to obtain the greatest possible benefit from all sentient beings, who are more precious than a wish-fulfilling jewel, I shall hold them most dear at all times. When in the company of others, I shall always consider myself the lowest of all, and from the depths of my heart hold others dear and supreme. Vigilant, the moment a delusion appears in my mind, endangering myself and others, I shall confront and avert it without delay. Whenever I see beings who are wicked in nature and overwhelmed by violent negative actions and suffering, I shall hold such rare ones dear, as if I had found a precious treasure. When, out of envy, others mistreat me with abuse, insults, or the like, I shall accept defeat and offer the victory to others. When someone whom I have benefited and whom I have great hopes gives me terrible harm, I shall regard that person as my holy guru. In short, both directly and indirectly, do I offer every happiness and benefit to all my mothers. I shall secretly take upon myself all their harmful actions and suffering. Undefiled by the stains of the superstitions of the eight worldly concerns, may I, by perceiving all phenomena as illusory, be released from the bondage of attachment. Okay, so that's our class. Thank you, everyone. That was fun. And I hope you're able to take these verses and get some benefit from them in the future. And hope to see you here at Kadampa Center for upcoming events. So thank you, everyone. Thank you, Linda.
Thank you so much, Robbie.
And everyone on the screen, thank you, too. Do we have some people on YouTube also?
Yes, we
okay.
sure do.
Okay.
Thank you, Robbie. Thank you, Linda.
Thanks, Linda. Thank you, Robbie.